There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Hour number two of the show. Phone number still hadn't changed after 16 years. 343-0106. 343-0106 for a phone call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. All right. I mentioned at the, I guess, the end of Jeff's show that a guest you'll hear, and you'll hear on with Jeff, with some regularity, and comes on this show every once in a while, but usually for different reasons. I mean, he's a full-time attorney, a one-time congressman here in the state of Alabama. But out of all the hats he wears, which he wears many each day, I'm interested in the Alabama Trails Foundation and his work with that. And he's coming back on to talk more about that. Paul DeMarco joins us here on Midday Mobile. Paul, thanks for your time.
Hey, glad to be with you today, Sean.
Man, it's good to have you here. And this is what's going on, y'all. This is happening tomorrow. And I tell you right now, Paul gave me a heads up, and I'm jealous if I could have, if I knew if Flag Mountain, which I've been there, but I didn't check the 5G connection for my broadcast equipment when I was there, or I'd be there and doing the show live. A celebration of the official hiking gateway to Appalachia at Flag Mountain Tower. This goes on tomorrow. First of all, I guess, Paul, let's hit rewind and tell folks what's significant about Flag Mountain.
Well, the significance is a couple things. A, the mountain itself, it's the southernmost highest mountain above 1,000 feet in the Appalachia. And I think everybody thinks of, you know, Appalachia, Kentucky, West Virginia. If you're a hiker, you know that the AT trail starts in Springer Mountain in North Georgia. Mm-hmm. But really, if you want to hike Appalachia, you got to start in Alabama. And I think that's part of what we're celebrating tomorrow. Is the significance of Flag Mountain. In addition to the mountain itself, there's a tower that was built by the Civilian Conservation Corps, for you history buffs, in the 30s, and it's owned by the Alabama Forestry Commission, but we've collaborated, the Alabama Trails Foundation, and it's a beautiful tower, restored the stairs inside. And let me just tell you, the view from inside is just amazing, the 360 view from Coosa County near Weegoffka, Alabama.
It is cool, too, and it's like, y'all, this is something that has been talked about in hiking realms and when I was in Boy Scouts and all that, that this is, you know, we argue where the true end of the Appalachian Mountains are, but I don't think anybody can argue that Flag Mountain is not part of that spine of mountains through our country. And this one here is the start of, you know, Pinhoti Trail. And, you know, people, you talk about the start of the AT, but there's a lot of people that can't get enough hiking. They start down here and hike it through to go up and hit the AT. Like, this is a connected to that great hiking superhighway here in the eastern U.S.
That's right. So, you know, the Alabama Pinhoti, which we're going to officially, which has been around for a long time, but we're going to officially kind of kick off the trailhead now. It's already been part of it, but really kind of kick it off tomorrow. We're going to put down a bronze plaque that says, you know, mile marker 0.0, and from the tower, there'll be a little stone pathway that has been built that will lead to the trail. And then you can go, you know, 170 miles plus to the Georgia border on the Pinhoti Trail. You'll connect with the Georgia Pinhoti. That connects to the BitPK, and then that connects to the AT. So if you're really one of those folks who want to hike the length of the Appalachian Mountains, you really have to start in Coosa County, Alabama.
And it's what a cool place, y'all. And you know, you talk about the building there by the CCC, and I've told people before too. You can get Chi Hall. You can see some of those buildings. I mean, even if you're not a hiker, just to go see the architecture that was built back then is really cool stuff. I mean, it's just, but I like people to hike too.
Well, you know, so we're celebrating, we're putting the bronze marker down, we're celebrating the trailhead, and something that the Alabama Forestry Commission, we work with them as well, as they've got water to the top of the mountain, to the tower. So,
that's okay.
A big deal. Yeah, that was a big deal getting that done. I mean, getting water up there. So that's important for a lot of reasons. So there's a lot of reasons we're celebrating tomorrow. And, you know, some mutual friends of yours, folks you've had before, you know, Rick Oates with the Alabama Forestry Commission, Chris Blankenship with the Alabama Department of Conservation, Lee Centel, Department of Tourism. Because in addition to celebrating, you know, what's going on with the tower and with the Penhody, you and I talked last year, this is the year of trails, actually 25 and 26 years of trails. So we're celebrating the great Alabama outdoors, and this is part of our celebration in the years of trail with tourism and just marketing to folks that live in Alabama, but also those outside Alabama, what great outdoor rec we have in the state.
100%. You know, and there's those of us that are like carriers of the message, right? I do it here. I know you do it in your capacity. I think getting some national interest, you know, we think of the waterways of a state of rivers as well, and the Great Alabama 650 canoe race that brings people in from all over to do that. Yeah, having more people. I mean, I want to hike because it's an awesome trail and I'm an Alabamian, but at the same time, having people go, okay, well, if I'm going to do the AT, if I'm going to do the real AT, I got to go and start here at Flag. I mean, that's cool. It's good marketing and letting those people know here at home and outside our state.
Well, as you said, y'all are so close to the Gulf Coast, and you got the best piece of the Gulf. But in addition to that, if you're a hiker, you've got lots of trails. I was at the Heap Brandon Trail on the Gulf State Lodge not long ago, the Penhody trails all over the state. But if you're a biker, you know, we've been working on the Chief Ladiga that, you know, in the Calhoun County in East Alabama. But like you said, as we've got so many, I was at the Cahaba in Bibb County not too long ago. And so whether you want to bike or hike or canoe.
I think we lost you. Paul, you still there with us?
We really do have it all here in Alabama, in addition to the fishing and hunting.
100%. So, I mean, and I'm somebody who people talk about the hiking and canoeing and all that stuff, and there's an audience that's just for that. I'm somebody that likes to hunt, fish, and hike and canoe, and I generally like just to be outside. And you talk about we have great trails down here. People want to get started down in our neck of the woods. But what's cool about our state is the way that geography changes for me, and I do want to promote our trails down here and people use them. But every time I'm on Cheehaw, you know, or make a hike like that and I post pictures, people say, man, where are you, in Tennessee or North Carolina? I'm like, I'm in Alabama, y'all. This is here in our state. You don't have to drive. I mean, Smokies are great. I'm pro Smokies, but you don't have to drive that far.
Look, you're exactly right. My family actually was in the Smokies not long ago, but a month before that, we hiked Cheehaw, and when you're at the top up there, the views are amazing. And as you said earlier, that we've also got a tower up there, that the state has a tower up there, was also built, and it's a beautiful tower. But the views from up there, and we just have to remind folks that we have, you know, Appalachia, Alabama, and you know, the mountains in Alabama are beautiful, and that's what makes Alabama, because it's hard to find the states like Alabama that have the Gulf Coast, the white sand and clear water, and being part of the Appalachia Mountains, what we have in our state, the diversity of topography is really, in my opinion, second to none.
No, absolutely. I mean, that we've got, you know, I mean, you could just look at it and compare it to our neighboring states. You know, we've got it within 3 hours. You can do, you know, you could do the mountains and you could do the coast at the same time. In the outreach here, so, I mean, you got the event coming up tomorrow, which is awesome, and we're in this, you know, year of trails here, the Alabama year of trails. What else, I mean, as a group, are we doing to advertise, to market this? Is it just when we can have an event like this? Is there any, like, monthly effort, whether it's Alabama Trails Foundation or whatever, what are we doing?
Well, look, you can go to a couple of places. You can go to the website for the Alabama Trails Foundation, and we've been highlighting different trails around the state. We shoot videos. Like I said, I was in Butler County not long ago. I mean, Baldwin County and Fairhope, and just there's a, you know, not every trail has to be deep in the Talladega National Forest.
Sure,
we've got great trails and around the state and parks. I was in Coleman not long, so we're doing that. You can also go on the state tourism website where you'll see the year of trails, where a lot of trails have been highlighted. And so, you know, that's what I would invite your listeners. You don't have to be a backpacker like, oh, I mean, there are plenty of short hikes, day hikes that you can enjoy, whether you bike, hike, or want to be on a boat. And that's what I would encourage everyone. Go on either the Alabama Trails Foundation or the Alabama Tourism or the Alabama Department of Conservation, because I think a lot of us just really don't appreciate what we really do have in the state of Alabama. You, or we may just think, oh, we're just around our neighborhood. But, you know, you can drive 30 minutes, whether you live in Mobile or Baldwin County or whether you live in Huntsville, to really see some of the great trails around the state.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's the same for everybody, but I can tell you this. If somebody trying to get exercise, my tolerance for around a neighborhood or like some indoor track is about a mile. If I'm outside, I look down, I've walked 4 miles before I even know it. You know, I'd rather be not walking around a circle in some place, you know, or through a neighborhood. I mean, you could do this, you know, like you said, just down the road from where many of us live, get a nature experience at the same time you're getting your exercise, just enjoying it.
Look, I spend as much time on the Gulf Coast and Dolphin Island and mm-hmm. Orange Beach and Gulf Shores as because I've lived here my whole life. But I'll tell you, in the fall, if any of your folks can get up to Northeast Alabama, and the fall foliage, you know, is incredible when you start driving along the parkways up there, you know, in DeKalb County and Jackson and Claiborne and, you know, all the counties you're familiar with up there. It's just incredible, the foliage. So it's coming. It's around the corner.
Yeah, when does that hit? Yeah, give me the pro. Like, if we wanted to hit fall foliage right, when would you go up?
Well, considering this past weekend it was 95 degrees up here, I guess we're around the corner. But it's around the corner, I would say, in the next 30 days, I hope.
Paul, y'all have a great event tomorrow. I can't wait to hear more about it, and I can't wait to go start at mile zero.
Looking forward to seeing you as well.
All right, there he goes, Paul DeMarco. You know him political world, but also did you know him from Alabama Trails Foundation? Good guy, likes a hike. And what a thing with Flag Mountain. It's pretty darn cool. Anybody of y'all been to Flag Mountain? Let me know on the text line.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 122 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And Anna, you and I were talking during the news there, and we're, of course, precious metals, so quite a story here, gold and silver. But you mentioned, what is it, gold sleeves? What is the term you gave me?
Gold backs.
Gold backs. What is a gold back?
It is basically, it's a sheet of gold, but it's like, you can use it to barter with, so it's like a fraction of a troy ounce. So some of them are like one of a thousands of the troy ounce of gold. So it's just a thin little sheet of gold.
Okay, so like if you're trading in gold, but you don't, you know, with the price of, let's say you're talking about, you got a gold coin right now, it's worth a lot of money. If you got to make change, that's a little hard. Is that kind of where this comes in?
Well, and some states are actually using it to trade with or to buy goods with, like Wyoming, Utah, New Hampshire. A lot of those different states have already implemented. Basically, you can go into a store and feed it into a machine, and it'll calculate how much is this gold back worth in dollar value with today's gold pricing. But obviously, we're in Alabama, so we don't have that. But people are collecting them because they do have different designs on the front of them. And Florida, our next-door neighbor, Florida, issued some this year. And a lot of people have been getting into the Florida ones because it's so close to home.
Are they sized like a dollar bill? Or what size are they?
They're about the size of like regular currency. Now they come in like a fractional size of like a half and then a one, a five, a 10, 25, 50, and I think 100. I think that's the biggest one. But as they get, you know, larger and domination, they get larger in size as well.
This is cool. But, something I never knew about.
But on average, I would say they're basically about the size of like our currency. And then the bigger ones, they're the size of like the older U.S. money. If you've ever seen like the Confederate money and stuff, it's like twice as big as our normal money now.
Mm-hmm. That's when wallets were bigger.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, everybody knows that. It's the days of the big wallet. All right, listen, if people want to talk about the gold backs or buying precious metals or selling precious metals, y'all are the go-to, so tell them how to find you.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church, and you can always call us. Our phone number is 251-725-1590.
Thanks, Anna.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, there goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Gold backs. I'm sure I'll see on the text line. Everybody else knew about these things, but I did not. All right, to the text line, Ultra Runner said the Pinhoti 100 Ultra Marathon is November 1st and 2nd. Even if you're not in the race, it's a great time to be on the trails and see the leaves and the human suffering. You know, Ultra Runner, y'all that do this stuff, amaze me. I want to say I'm angry at you. I'm not. I'm amazed. Like, I guess, because I like to hike, right? So we were at Mount LeConte Labor Day weekend. Yeah, Labor Day weekend. And, you know, we're grinding up the trail, going up to the summit there on LeConte. And then a group of y'all runners would come running by us, you know, like just in tennis shoes and just like jogging. You make it hard on us old people that just do it one step at a time. But it's impressive. And it's a cool, I mean, I think what's neat, and Ultra Runner, obviously, you know, Pinhoti Trail. You know, so many people on here have texted me that have hiked it and liked it. But what's cool about like having Flag Mountain, even people who aren't going to hike it, it's worth going to Flag Mountain saying, hey, here's the start. Here's the mile zero. And I don't know, like as a kid, too much of a telling on myself here, but as a kid growing up here, I always thought it was cool that you could leave from Dog River Marina in your sailboat and go anywhere on the planet, right? You gotta sail from here to China, all that, you know, when you just let your mind wander, you know, as a kid, like how cool this is connected right here. This water at my home is connected. I could show up, you know, in Taiwan in a sailboat. Kind of the cool thing with the mile one or mile zero, as they call it in the Pinhoti Trail, is you stand right there and know that this is the beginning that takes you the whole way through Maine on the AT. I think it's good stuff. All right. Let's see, Chris in Orange Beach says, and so it has started, a picture of like skeletons out in the yard. Chris, you don't work with Leanna. Leanna it's Halloween year round with her. I mean, she's already, last week or the week before, she had her decorations going up. So, by the way, Jerry, it's funny. This has been in the back of my mind since the shutdown. It's funny. I thought about it yesterday and thought about this morning when I got up because of a story. Jerry says, will the federal game wardens be off duty during the shutdown? I don't know now, but I know a story from a buddy of mine that farms in the Mississippi Delta, who, when he was a young man and well beyond the statute of limitations, was out, you know, what they'll call federal property a lot of times in Mississippi and some in Alabama. I think maybe it goes over into Arkansas. I know Alabama people will say it, or used to, old-timers. Mississippi people said it. Maybe Arkansas, maybe Louisiana, I don't know. But they called National Forest the government woods, right? Government woods. This guy, who's a fine, upstanding citizen, but back in his days, there was a shutdown back in the 80s. So he's a little bit older than me. Back in the 80s, and I guess I can tell this story because he's statute of limitations to run. But he and another buddy of him, were growing up there in the South Mississippi Delta, went into some government woods nearby because they knew the game warden, federal game warden that monitored that, was not working. And they could see his truck parked at his house there, you know, along the road. And they went in there, and I won't even give you the numbers, Jerry, but the amount of mallards they shot. I remember when he told me that story, I said, well, my God, that's something. So I know back then the federal game wardens weren't working. I don't know what the situation is now during the shutdown. And by the way, too, a couple of things like games we've brought out today's show. Number one, like they have Fat Bear Week. We could do Fat General and Admiral Week, right? People can pick their favorite one. And also, we could do the how long does the shutdown last? What do y'all think? I think by Monday, it's over. I think it could happen before then, but I think by Monday, it's over. What do you think? 343-0106. I give it to Monday. How long do you think this lasts before they find a way to work together? Get your bets in now. All right, coming right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and get a midweek update here on inventory, David.
Yeah, we got some more inventory in today. We think we've got 8 total. Another Titan crew cab four-wheel drive truck. We got a Highlander came in today, which is a platinum Highlander leather interior, sunroof, everything, white, tan interior. 2 Traverses, a really good-looking Ram crew cab truck, and a few other pieces out here. So we've got some fresh stuff.
All right, so people want to check that out. Tell them how to get there in person, and they can look at them online, too.
Pictures should be up online here today, lcmmotorcars.com. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or just come see us in person. We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A.
Thank you, David.
Bye, buddy. Have a good day.
You, too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. I grab some text here, but a couple of news stories here. This breaking news here over the last probably 10, 15 minutes. Jane Goodall, dead at age 91. This from New York Post. Jane Goodall, renowned anthropologist and conservationist, dead at age 91. The Jane Goodall Institute took to social media today to announce the legendary British scientist, best known for a lifelong study of chimpanzees, died of natural causes during a visit to California. So it is not... It's not the wilds of Africa that killed her. It's California. This is what came out of their social media for the Institute. Said the Jane Goodall Institute has learned this morning that Dr. Jane Goodall, DBE, UN Messenger of Peace, and founder of the Jane Goodall Institute, has passed away due to natural causes. End quote. No more details than that. But I mean, Jane Goodall, I mean, what a name in the world of science, right? I mean, you know something about thinking primates, you're thinking chimpanzees, you're thinking Jane Goodall. I mean, would there have been the Chimp Empire documentary on Netflix without the work of Jane Goodall? It says she was in California as part of a speaking tour in the United States. Dr. Goodall's discoveries as an ethologist revolutionized science, and she was a tireless advocate for the protection and restoration of the natural world. She made an impact for sure. Let's go to the text line here. I'll tell you what, work from top to bottom. This texter, this is Calvin, said 91's a great life. Shame it ended in the great state of California. Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's sad that she's dead, but it's not. I mean, she did a lot. Like you checked out there, you made an accomplishment. Let's see. Jay says, hey, Sean, my wife works on the government side at a company here. They are still working. My wife works on the government side at Austell. They're still working. Just want to get a check till the government is up and running. I'm saying that it got me thinking. I think Monday. No other reason than just that's what came to mind. I think it's Monday. They get it done. What do you think? I'll get your bets here on the text line. C.B. Carl said, the government woods story makes me think of experiences that led me to finally becoming a hook-and-gun environmentalist. Yep. Yeah, it's a, I won't even take that guy's, give that guy's name, but it's a heck of a story to, because he's probably, he's 7 years older than me, maybe 7, 8 years older than me, but I first met up with him over there in Mississippi, and we had hunted together some, and he told me that story from the shutdown back in the 80s, Reagan was in office, and I said, wow, that, they put you under the jail for that. He said, yep, that's why I hadn't told the story until, you know, a long time had passed. Let's see. Michael says, I wonder if Dalton could do a bracket and run your pool for the fattest fatty general contest. I don't know, Dalton. I mean, can we have a side competition next to College Pick'em and we just model it off the fat bear contest and we do the fattest general or admiral coming off the news from Hegseth? We'll work on it. We'll see. David says, I give it 2 weeks, but wouldn't mind it lasting longer for the shutdown. Yeah, 2 weeks? I think it's Monday. I don't, I'm just throwing this out. My mark is on Monday. David's got 2 weeks from today. What are your guesses here? More game warden memes coming in. Now, mind you, before you get some bad ideas, you should actually do the right thing no matter what. But doesn't affect state game wardens, y'all. They state game wardens are still doing their thing, so act right. Okay, act right. Well, we'll get more of your bets can come in on how long you think the shutdown lasts. What it was the 37 days during the first Trump term. That's, I think, the record. I don't think we're going to get near that, but that's just my play is Monday. David's 2 weeks. Y'all put them in. This story as well, from Hal Sherrick over at Fox 10, I heard Dan and Dalton talking about it this morning, and I want to tell the story and then use it as a reason to get on a soapbox. The story is from Fox 10 TV. Said, this is a tale of two fishing trips and how one nearly ended in tragedy while the other ended in the catch of a lifetime. Two men are alive today thanks to what their rescuers are calling nothing less than divine intervention. And it's awesome they have Hal, who understands how all this works, doing the story. But here's a quote in here. So you've got two boats, one that's overturned, one that's just out on a fishing trip. The quote is this. It says, this is coming from Christine Lyles. All right. So this is a person who was on the charter trip that ended up making this rescue. Said, I've been out in the ocean many times. She's from Missouri, so cut her some slack. I've been out in the ocean many times. I've never been sick, but I was kind of nauseous that day. So this was a couple days ago, I think. So Captain Brian actually came around and said, hey, we can start heading back in if you want. And I said, you know what? No, I want everyone to have a good time. We're not going back because of how I feel. That's when they took off and kept going. So they're on this charter trip, right? She's getting sick. Captain, being a good captain, says, you know, we can turn around if you're feeling ill because, you know. And she said, no, I'm going to tough it out. So they keep going. So it says, Lyles was in Orange Beach for a family vacation on September 22nd. And like many, booked a fishing trip out of Zeke's Landing Marina. She spent most of that trip inside the cabin, a bit seasick, to use her phone to take pictures and document the trip. What had been an uneventful day on the water changed quickly with the decision to keep fishing. This is these stories. I mean, you're like, what would have happened if not? So you have the boat captain here of the Water Dog, Captain Brian Watts, quoted in the story saying, as I was trying to figure out a good way to go out, I noticed a boat off in the distance, just glanced at it, and then when I finally decided where I was going to go, I started heading that direction and kept looking out the window for that boat. End quote. Now, y'all realize, those of us fish offshore, like you're on a track, right? You run into some numbers and you're like, okay, these boats are to my east, these boats are to my west. I hope that boat's not on my mark. Sure, it looks like they're on the same number I'm going to. You know, you're watching the boats around you. So I get what the captain's doing here. Goes on in Hal's story and says, Watts was at the helm of his charter boat, the Water Dog, when he lost sight of the boat. His first mate then spotted it about a half mile away, and someone appeared to be waving. So the crew headed that way. As they got closer, the seriousness of the situation struck all on board. So the captain goes on to say, you don't know if there's only one person left, if there's a casualty. You don't know what you're pulling up to. So it was a blessing that the two men were there. Once the boat capsized, they got on top of it, and they'd been there for over 2 hours. Said the captain, radio at the Coast Guard, also Lyle's husband, and said, and Kevin assisted the first mate, Fisher Paisley, which, by the way, if that guy's not deckhand, and he definitely needs to have a country music career. The deckhand's named Fisher Paisley. They're helping in the rescue. They threw a life ring to the men, hauled them on board one at a time. Stranded boaters told Captain Watts they had been losing hope. It was a Monday in the off-season, and on top of that, it was a rough day, and their few boats were out. So think about this. So this boat overturns out there. Boat overturns. These guys are, nobody knows that they're missing, right? And it's rough. Can you imagine that? And they're trying to hold on to the hull of the boat that's upside down. And only because this lady said, nah, I don't want to turn around. We're going to keep fishing. And also the captain deciding, hey, I'm heading southeast, south, whatever he was, whatever track he was going to run to his next spot. Happened to have the right spot. Did these guys get seen? And yeah, as crowded as it can be in June offshore, it can be, you get out past 10, 15, 30 miles in late September, once everybody's gone back to school and all that, it can be pretty empty out there. So what a thing that this charter boat, and there's a great story. I'm going to pop this up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065, or X feed. You can see it over there. Read the story. But what a thing that the coincidences all lined up to where these men were saved. Now, I said I'm going to take a second for the soapbox, and I will. We've talked about it on the show at length. On this show, on FM Talk 1065 Outdoors, we even had Easton Barrett, who survived, you know, a year and a half ago when their boat sunk, going snapper fishing, coming out of Pascagoula. I had him on the show talking about their situation and how they were saved because they had a PLB, a personal locator beacon, or people call them EPIRBs as well. And I talk about this. You go fish offshore, really anywhere, but let's for sure offshore. Get one of these items. Personal locator beacon, you can find them at your marine stores. Just have one. Because you go in, and believe me, I've done every non-prepared, crazy stuff, fishing offshore, growing up here. I did the irresponsible things. We just go. Hey, is the bilge pump running? I think it was last time. Let's just go. We were so lucky over the years to survive. But if you go in the water and nobody's looking for you right then, you could be the situation, and no boat decides to take a track that brings them in close enough to see you waving. You're going to be dead eventually if nobody finds you. This is a piece of equipment, and you can look them up. There's different brands out there, you know, but I've had one for the last decade or so. Get one, keep it in the boat. Heck, put it on your belt. Boat sinks, you get thrown out of a boat. Whatever happens, you have a way of letting not only Coast Guard, Marine Resources know that the boat sank or capsized at point A, but it also keeps up with, I mean, any of y'all been out there, you realize the currents are honking. It lets them know where you are right then. So when they go fly out to find you, they're tracking you specifically, not where the boat went down. Like even if you get on the VHF and do a mayday and send that long, well, that's where the boat went down. If you get separated, or even if you're hanging on the boat, you're moving. These PLBs or EPIRBs are a piece of equipment I think everybody should have. So, and here's a story where these men were saved. Thank God that this charter boat was going that way. But if they hadn't been, what would have happened? So just think it through. Maybe even Christmas gifts. If you're thinking you got somebody who fishes, spends time offshore, even in the rivers in your life, what a great gift for them for this Christmas. All right, off the soapbox and back to taking text when we return after the news.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065.
FM Talk 1065. This show right here, Midday Mobile. Hi, y'all. I'm Sean. Glad you're along. And let me tell you about a buddy of mine, Trey Bennett, homeboy Trey Bennett. Known him for a long time and, you know, just trying to catch up with his company. 18 years in business in Mobile and Baldwin County, getting rid of junk. And it's something I've used a service personally. We use it with this radio station when we had to clear out. Listen, there was a storage unit for this radio station. Actually, there were two the big ones. When we bought the station, they had depreciated stuff that I think they had depreciation schedule on pencils and staples, and it was crazy. But they kept all this stuff. Got to get rid of it. Okay, called 1-800-GOT-JUNK. They came, cleaned out the storage unit. And not only did they clean it out, they cleaned out behind themselves so well. You know the storage folks don't want to give you your full deposit back. We got the full deposit back. It was that great. Had them work in my home. Same thing. And I've said this before, one of my peccadillos or whatever. I'm kind of weird about people I don't already know in my home. The crew with 1-800-GOT-JUNK are homeboys that you know. And you know Trey, you know, mobile guy. They're fantastic in your home. And they also clean up after they clean up in your home. So you got junk you want gone. You want people you can trust. And a buddy of mine, it's 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Make the appointment. And I love the fact, too, that they don't do this window of time thing for appointments. You know, they'll be there sometime Tuesday between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. No. You go online or pick up the phone. Their name is the number, by the way. If you hadn't noticed, Smart Marketing, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. When you go on there, they'll find the day you want to do it, the time you want to do it, and set an appointment. So you can be at work, do stuff with the kids, whatever. When you have a moment to be there, then all you do is point at the junk you want gone. They quote your price right there on the spot. If you say yes, boom, they get to work and get great work done. So check out the Google reviews, or listen to me or many of us around here that have used that service, and get it done with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Right to the text line. I'm sorry, I missed a couple of these earlier. Supermom said about the vape story, is this a money grab issue or people not vaping issue or both? You know, Supermom, when it comes out of Montgomery, you know, they'll say, we're doing this to keep people from vaping. I'm sure it's a money grab issue. It's the same thing with cigarettes. You know, they say, well, we raise money on tobacco taxes to keep people from doing it. Well, if you really wanted to make people stop doing it, you would raise the tax on a pack of cigarettes would be $500 if you wanted them not to smoke, right? I know they'd find the black bar. I get it. But you make it $500. They don't do that, no, because they want to keep the revenue going. So I think the vape thing is just, hey, what's making money right now? What's happening? Oh, let's get some of that. It's state government. Every time. Butterknife. Sean, with everything going on today as far as hiring, the best person putting the right person in the job, why can I not age discriminate and not hire a woman right out of college? She's going to get married and have a baby. Now, is that to go with the question about the military stuff, Butterknife? Is that the people have to have, like, standards? I mean, I don't think that exactly lines up. I think that's apples to mushrooms. But you come back and give me an update on that. Let's see. This unnamed texter said, I agree with most of the military changes, but not a fan of training combat troops on city streets. So one of the things there is, like, if they're going to use National Guard deployment to a city for training, I agree with you, texter. But it was discussed this morning. There are, especially in special ops, they do training in urban areas, like cities in the United States, to be able to be ready to do the HRT missions and all those things. So I don't want to get in the way of that. Heck, you don't ever know when special ops are doing their training. So, all right. The Terry says federal law enforcement officers will be working during the shutdown. And it said, and also says, so veteran rumor mill says at the end of the speech, all the generals had to fill a cup for a drug test, probably just lore, but it would be awesome. That would be awesome. And before y'all go, here's your cup. Let's see. Oh, question here. Oh, yeah. Somebody say, where is it? Unnamed texter, I think, said, does the Senate and Congress still get paid during the shutdown? Oh, yeah. They do. Now, it's in the Constitution that they get paid. So, I mean, it's constitutional. Now, I think they could vote themselves, right, that they wouldn't get money during the shutdown. But they do get paid during the president. The members of the legislature, yeah, they get paid. There are, you know, even though there's folks that still have to come to work, federal government employees that don't get paid while they work, I think the best scenario is the people who will eventually get their back pay who didn't have to come to work, get a little vacation. But, yeah, they absolutely right. Let's see. Sims guy said no paying taxes while shut down. You let me know how that works out. Let's see. Matt says, hey, Sean, I'll bet an all-star breakfast with a glass of half and half tea, but this thing is ongoing after a month. Okay, so Matt is in on 30 days. I think David was 2 weeks, I think, if I remember correctly, in the betting here. I am Monday. I think they get it done by Monday. I think that's right. Jerry in Fort Morgan said another good reason to have satellite communications. Let's get the back on track with the bill. Well, Jerry has had several good ideas. This is one of them. And Jerry, I just had a conversation about 10 days, not last week, end of the week before, with one of the members of the legislature saying, hey, you ought to think about this. There's a couple bills they're pushing, and this is one. I said, hey, think about this. They said they liked it. We'll see if they get something pre-filed on it. Let's see. I don't know. Billy D says, yeah, man, my herb came with the ink that if I saw a plane or if you know were around me or coming around, I could pull this little lever on the bottom and ultraviolet ink would come out and you're right in the middle of it if you're the dot. I don't know whether, Billy, you have to explain that one to me. I don't. Oh, okay. You're talking about maybe for like an EPIRB or something like that. Ashley from Loosedale said, and once you turn on your locator, leave it on. That's what I learned from your interview of the rescue several months ago. Absolutely. So what Ashley's talking about is what Easton was talking about. He said, yeah, they kept turning on and off their PLB. Coast Guard could still find them. But once it's on, leave that baby on. Y'all, seriously, I do get on a soapbox from time to time. But that's a worthwhile one. If you're going to fish offshore, be out there, buy this. Buy the piece of equipment. And then B-Dark, this is the best way to round it out. B-Dark says, I roll my cigarettes and I get 400 cigarettes for $23. Roll your own. Paul Feinbaum's on next.